Thank you, John.
It's a beautiful morning. It's a wonderful day. Walking with Jesus every step of the way. He's got a blessing waiting for you today. And it's a beautiful morning.
It's a beautiful morning.
It's a wonderful day. It's a beautiful morning. It's a wonderful day. It's such a good feeling just to know that you're saved. So don't let your troubles stand in your way. For it's a beautiful morning. It's a wonderful day. The Lord has made this morning especially for you. He hopes that you will be joining in the work He's gonna do. For He's got a blessing waiting for you today. And it's a beautiful morning. And it's a wonderful day.
Glory to Jesus the name.
Jesus. is an awesome God. And y'all, listen, every sermon should have God is an awesome God in it somewhere, right? If we're preaching the gospel. Because there's no greater example to God being an awesome God than the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's just how it is. So as soon as we get to church and we start thinking it's about other things, like how I'm, even if it's about good things, like am I growing or how am I growing or am I doing this? Am I being blessed? Am I? You probably somewhere lost the whole deal. It's not about you. It's about God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, the more you can focus on Him and the less you focus on you, you're going to be doing better anyway. You know, because He's awesome. He'll captivate your imagination. You all might see, I feel like I'm breathing real heavy. I'm excited to preach, but I remembered I wanted to have a prop, and I remembered it too late, and I went to find it, and I like ran down the hallway, couldn't find it, and I ran back in at the last minute, so I'm like, but the fact that I did not die lets you know that my workouts at Grenada CrossFit are doing something. Okay? Because otherwise I'll fell out. Amen. You are so nice. We're going to be in 1 John. We're going to look at the end of 1 John. We're going to conclude our message on truth in the very last three verses of the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. We've been speaking on truth. And as I studied for this message, I saw kind of how we've come almost back to the starting. One of the first messages I taught on truth was comparing and contrasting the truth with a lie. And it was talking about how if we follow the words of Jesus, that we're born again and we're truly His disciples. But if we can't hear His words, then not only are we not His disciples, but we're the children not of God, but of Satan. And He told the people He was talking to in His day, He said, God is not your father, but Satan is. And we saw there was a conflict and a contrast between the truth and the lie. And we're coming kind of full circle. We're going to talk and share the truth. Some of these have inspired conflict amongst the body of Christ and in church, being variously interpreted. And y'all, listen, the truth isn't here to divide us, but to unite us. And so I'm going to ask a question after I share these. And it's going to be, why do you struggle with that? Why do we struggle with that as a body, as Christians? So just kind of keep that in mind. And if there's something in you that is reacting against the truth of the Word of God, take that thing and put it on display. Bring it to the light and ask why. Why? Why is it reacting this way? Why am I reacting this way to the truth of God's Word? And just see how it goes, because those things, not to be too delicate, those things need to die. Those things that oppose the truth in our life need to come to the light and just be dismissed. We don't need those things. They are weights that hold us down. They are snares that tangle us up. And we don't need it. I think too often the people of God want to be hospitable and liberal with the truth. Kind of like, well, let's take it from all sides and let's try to do all this and that. Hey, we can be as hospitable as we want to be, but in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, you better recognize there is a truth. The truth of God and what His Word says. And there's a lot of competitors, and we don't need to afford them any hospitality in our mind and in our heart. Now, that's different from being hospitable to a person who holds a contrary view to us. By all means, Christians, in this time specifically, the doctrine of loving your enemy, loving your neighbor as yourself, has never been more applicable in our time than what it is right now. Okay? We need to do that. But as far as what you hold in your heart, and allowing room of doubt and shadows of fear about whether or not the gospel's true? No. That's where you take no prisoners and have no tolerance and no hospitality and no liberal graciousness. Maybe the other view could have some merit. No! Cut it! The flesh flesh, it's never said, hey, be nice to your flesh and to the world and to the devil that's influencing you. It says, put it off. Let it starve. And you focus on the truth that's in Christ. And I believe, just like right now, I believe God's wanting to get this message to his people. Now, if you struggle in these things, you just think on it. I'm going to read it, and then we'll go back through it. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather in the name of Jesus, declaring your awesome deeds in creation, in sustaining your people, in saving your people, and one day we'll be glorified right there with you through Christ in your heaven, your home. Thank you for that. Thank you for the gospel message. Help us, Lord, as we have your truth and we find places in ourselves where we're soft, where we're conflicted, because as the people of God, we need to be sure of you and your word. So help us. Help us to stand uncompromisingly on your truth. Lovingly with our friends and neighbors and even our enemies, but uncompromising on the truth of your word. And Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I have one that had notes on it. You know, y'all got the same copy like this. I made one special for me that had notes, and they're not on there. I'm sorry. Y'all come back next week. Oh, man, we're going to have to do it. We can do it. Somebody may have my notes out there, and you're going to know what I'm about to say, but it's going to be all right. It'll work out. This first one, we struggle with. You just ask yourself why you struggle with this. It says, those we know. Before I go into this specific one, three times it's going to say we know. Matter of fact, we've got the book of 1 John is big on knowing the truth. There's some things that you and I should know and can know. The famous verse just happens a little bit above this. It says in verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may continue to believe the name of the Son of God. There's a lot of things that we can know as Christians, and God desires for us to be firmly planted on this. Listen to this one here. We resist this. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Ooh. Doesn't that seem tough? Anybody here born again? Anybody here sin? How is it the same group? When the scripture says, whoever has been born of God does not sin. And I'm going to tell you something. This is something that separated denominations and put people at odds with each other within the body of Christ. There's people who pursue a thing called sinless perfection. Now, you can walk around with me for 5 minutes and I'll spoil sinless perfection all over the place. I'm not bragging on my sin. I'm not bragging on my ability to sin. But I believe when we rightly understand this verse, in this book, not just the entire Bible, but in the book of 1 John, we will understand this. It's not that a Christian doesn't sin. It's that a Christian's sin has been taken care of. There's only one person who can take care of sin. There's only one. It's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Only God can forgive sin. I don't know if you remember when Jesus was in his ministry, he healed a paraplegic, a paralyzed man who couldn't walk, couldn't move. Four of his friends brought him to Jesus. They couldn't get in front of him, so they dug a hole through the roof. They set him down in front, and Jesus looks at him and says, man, your sins are forgiven. Woo! And it rustled the feathers of everybody there. They were upset. Who is this man that blasphemes, for only God can forgive sins? You know, said, I said these things so you would know that the Son of Man has the authority here on earth to forgive sins. He said, I'm letting you know something about me. And then he healed that man. But I'm going to tell you, there's not, it don't matter how hard you try. It don't matter if you're an instrument, a vessel filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's only the Spirit of God. It's only God himself who can take care of sin, not you and me. I'm going to tell you, though we walk in this sin, though we walk in this world, and though I may sin, and you don't have to look far to find it, I'm going to tell you something you'll find on every one of my sins. Every one, past, present, and the ones yet to be committed. And it's this. It's a blood-stamped word that says forgiven. It's forgiven. I was supposed to turn this off, and I didn't. There we go. Jesus Christ is my advocate with the Father, and furthermore, he is the propitiation, the atoning, redeeming sacrifice that God accepts on my behalf, and my sin is done. And it's not that I won't slip, and I can't even claim to be an accident. I sin sometimes because that's what I want, and my wanter from this perverse heart wins the day, and I allow the flesh sometimes to win. And there's real, sure enough, sin that can poke its head out of my life. I've seen it, I'm telling you. And I've worked with enough of y'all, and not just you here in this congregation, but just enough people and born-again Christians to know that you can do stupid just as quick as I can. But I'm going to tell you something. For those who are born again, your sin is forgiven.
Yeah.
1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he says, if we confess our sin, I love this. If you just break down, this is one of those places where the grammar is so beautiful. If we confess our sin, just notice the pronouns, we and our, right? I want you to notice those two words don't appear in the rest of the verse. If we confess our sins, he, who's the he there? Jesus Christ, the righteous one, God Almighty. He is faithful, which means he's going to do it because he said he was going to do it. He is faithful and he is just. Why is God just to forgive your sins? How can the just judge of the universe forgive meaningful, willful sinners? How can that even happen? Y'all know how? How? That's right. He says, I have a phone. It's right through that phone. Now I'm going to tell you. It's through the blood. Because those sins have been paid for through the cross. He didn't forgive your sins by going, well, it just didn't matter. Well, we'll just let it slide. Well, we'll close our eyes to this. We'll pretend it didn't happen. He didn't tell you, hey, sweetheart, I understand. I understand. I'm looking at these three young girls. I understand, you know, your parents have been hard on you. I understand, you know, that you didn't go on vacation in the Bahamas this year and it's been tough. You know, I understand all these things and oh my goodness. And oh, he doesn't relate to us and rationalize our sin. He punished your sin to the full extent of the law. And if you've been born again, that punishment's been put on Christ, not on you. And he is just to forgive your sins. It's not an accident. It wasn't an afterthought. That's how he's bringing Adam and Eve and their whole race into his kingdom. It's through the sacrifice of the Lamb. Isn't that awesome? But it doesn't stop there. He's faithful and he's just to forgive your sins. Amen. But see, there's also a growing part of that. And there's a growing part of this verse. It says, but he who has been born of God keeps himself and the wicked one doesn't touch him. The rest of chapter 1, verse 9 says, and cleanses us, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And I'm going to tell you something. When we walk with God and we confess our sins and he forgives us, we ought to be growing. We will be growing. We will be growing in the Lord. It says here he guards himself in chapter 5, verse 18. He guards himself. He keeps himself. Y'all listen. You've been given a wonderful privilege. If you're a born again child of God, and although sin is going to be present with us, it has the doesn't have the power it has over. We're no longer slaves. This makes us kind of stupid children sometimes. I hate to make us feel bad about ourselves, but you look in the mirror and see if every once in a while you're not just a stupid child that hadn't done right. But because our loving Father, he's given it, not only has he forgiven us and taken care of it, but he gives us what we need to grow process called sanctification, becoming holy in the Lord. The Lord has been saying it for as long as his people have been gathered. Be holy as I'm holy. This is something that God desires for us, and he gives us the strength to grow. That's the truth. Sometimes we don't think that. Sometimes we lay back and say, well, I'm just doomed to be a stupid child. I'm never going to grow up. I'm never going to go forward. But you know what? When we look at the Word, it says, no, you need to be growing. You can be growing. You don't grow by focusing on yourself, but by clinging to your perfect Savior, Redeemer, Cleanser, Forgiver, who did all these things for you. If you want to know what righteousness and holiness is anyways, you've got to focus on Jesus because he's righteous and he's holy. There's not another human example. You might have mentors and helpers along the way, but we have but one teacher and one Father. Okay? Don't resist that truth. Don't go condemning yourself. Do you know what Satan's job is? Satan's job is to accuse the brethren, to divide people. That's what the devil means, divider. Satan means opposer or, you know, enemy, adversary is what that name means. And he accuses the brethren. Remember what he did with Job? He accused Job. Remember, this is what he does. Can I tell you something? There's an old song by the Rolling Stones that says, sympathy for the devil. If you all go condemning yourselves, he's going to get unemployed and have to go to the pit early. I imagine there ain't going to be nothing for him to do if you take his job away from him. Y'all hear the sarcasm, right? In other words, though, let me put it a little more plain. When you accuse yourself, you're doing the devil's work. Y'all get me? Born again, child of God. When you drag up your dirt and you take the big old treble hook and you dredge the bottoms of the canal of your life and you bring it back up and you bring it back up, although it's stamped with the word forgiven, and you look past the stamp and you go, oh, this is what I did. Oh, that's what I did. Oh, you're doing the devil's work. Let it go. God provides a supernatural protection against him that we might not be, and I'm going to use an ugly word, but it's the word, molested by Satan. Look again at verse 18. We know that whoever is born again does not sin, because it's not that I haven't performed a sin, it's my sin has been taken care of by the only one who can take care of it. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. God gives me this power to cooperate with him in my sanctification. And then this one, the wicked one does not touch him. And that word touch has that idea of molested. Someone who's come and groped. You know what he wants to do? Satan can't hurt God. But he can try to grope and molest and defile and despoil his kids, his children. Matter of fact, in the book of Revelation in chapter 12, it says that's what the devil on earth is doing now, making war against those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Wow, that had to seem, that was huge in John's time when he wrote the book of Revelation. To see this warring against the people of God, John himself being witness to the crucifixion of Christ, knowing that Peter and his wife were crucified, knowing of the other followers of Christ, that Paul had been beheaded, that there was a big government machine, the Roman Empire, coming in, closing down against the church, fighting, being hostile. What about our time? Has times changed so much since then? Has things happened so that it's just, you know, I went to seminary with a fella. It just wasn't like this here at that point, but he was from Indonesia, and when he went to seminary in Indonesia, he was here getting his doctorate degree. When he got his master's from Indonesia, he couldn't graduate until he planted a church in a Muslim neighborhood. Now, his father was a pastor before him and had his buildings burnt down. Can you imagine that? Who's generating this? Who's generating this fight? When we watched, and maybe you've never seen the video, and you might not want to, but proudly how Christian men are marched out onto a beach with cover, you know, with bound up and then assassinated. There's somebody coming against us. But can I tell you this? They might take your life. Your life might be taken as a Christian. It seems to be the popular thing, and it seems to be moving west in our direction. I don't know if you've caught that. But can I tell you something? There ain't nobody who can take you out of God's hand. See, this is not only about the true God, but his promise of eternal life. And even if the wicked one were to come and to take your life, think about those who've gone before us. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain, is what they said, what the Apostle Paul told them. And ever since then, there have been people who have stood and gave the witness, the martyr witness, to say, you really can't touch me. I loved it. Last week or the week before, we looked at what Jesus said before Pilate. Pilate says, don't you know I have the power to crucify you or release you? And Jesus said, you have no power against me except for what's been given to you from above. In other words, he said, you're just part of a plan, buddy, and you got no idea, but I'm of the family of God, and I know right where I'm going. You got nothing on me. Oh, my goodness. We might resist that and allow fear to creep in or apprehension or whatever things, but y'all, we need to bring that truth to bear in our lives. Here's the next one. We know that those born again, those who are born again, belong to the family of God, but that this world is ruled by the wicked one. We like to struggle against that one too, again, because we're hospitable. We want to be, in our minds, very open. There's good stuff in the world, and not everybody's on the take, and all these things. But can I tell you, this scripture says, it puts people in the camps, and I know nobody likes to hear that. Nobody wants to be a part of that. And preachers, some preachers like to say it, but I'm kind of on the open end of things too. But this word makes it very simple. We are of God. The whole world lies under the influence and the sway of Satan, the wicked one. I don't know how we can tiptoe around that. I don't know how we can get around that. I'm going to tell you, it says you are going to be under the influence either of God, of the family, of the likeness, of the mission of God, or you're going to be under the sway of the devil, of the wicked one. Boy, that seems so medieval, doesn't it? Like Dark Ages thought. Well, the devil and the demons are around the corner, and they're going to hit you with their pitchfork, and they're running around and pointing. Whatever these things are, horns up there in their tail. Tongue like a serpent. You know, I have no idea what the wicked one looks like or his minions and all those things. I just know this. The Word of God says that they're there, and this particular verse says they have sway over the whole world. If that was true when this was written, the only thing I can imagine is they're a lot more entrenched now than what they were. The wicked one's even more entrenched than what he was. Has he got kind of tools? All kinds of tools. All kinds of stuff. Oh, yeah. All kind of power and influence and money. We watch. Have you ever just been in awe as you've watched the news as they seem to be peddling hatred? You know, there's all kinds of things that you can say. But it seems like it's not news unless it's dirty, unless it's inflammatory, unless it's disgusting. Then it's newsworthy. One of the folks in the media put out a tweet. After 49 souls were killed in Orlando at a gay nightclub, the man who killed those people three times called 911, saying, I'm doing this as an ISIS operative. Witnesses say he was yelling the traditional terrorist stuff when he was killing these people. This man in the media puts out, the radical Christian right has brought up over 200 bills against the LGBT community. And you think this happened because of Islam? He said, no. Thousands of people loved it. What in the world is that? What is that except for there's someone rocking to sleep the otherwise intelligent minds of this world, that they might believe a narrative that is just their own, that serves his agenda. The devil has an agenda. Steal, kill, destroy. That's what his agenda is. And this says they're under the sway. This is where I was going to get a prop. And I was looking for a baby doll. We don't have no baby there, but there's a kid playing with it. And I was like, I am not stealing that baby. There's a baby doll up there. Y'all look back at Jamie. Okay, now rock it, Jamie. Rock, stand up and rock the baby. He's back yonder. See him? There you go. He's rocking. That was weird. Okay, so back down. Because there's a saying, do you remember the saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world? Now, that original meaning of that saying, you know, usually has to do with mamas, the influence of a mama in a child's life. You know, it's big. But can I tell you, when I read a verse like this and that idea of it, it's under the whole world, it says, under the sway of the wicked one. What you kind of see is the devil saying, it's all right. Watch, we're going to do all right. It's going to be all right. No. You ignore those 3911 calls and all that shouting and stuff. That was the Christians that did that. There's a guy on his tweet with thousands of followers. It was the Christians that did that. It's like he's whispering in their ear, hey, our fight's against Christ and his followers. This is against them. Y'all think about, I'm reading a book, and it's been horrible. I don't know how else to say it. Pushing through it, and I'm going to. It's an exhaustive history on the European Jews during World War II. Okay, it starts in the 1930s, and it's going to go on through there, and it's gut-wrenching. I mean, it's just, it's exhaustive. It's a 1,000-page thing I'm pushing through. It's impossible to explain the amount of hatred that was focused on this specific group of people, the Jews, without understanding that this was against God and not even against them. It's hard to understand without seeing the wicked one whispering in the ears of those in charge, that's who we need to kill. Because you wouldn't believe how they hunted them, how they trapped them, how flat out evil this was. It's amazing. I mean, you've probably seen movies, but to imagine the hatred involved, you have to understand the wicked one was whispering in his ears and saying, this is what we're going to do. And we always like to say, well, it was German. Well, it was Germany, it was Lithuania, it was the Latvians, it was the Polish, it was so many. Saying, we're going to put these folks up and just eliminate them. It was wild. We watched similar things, not to that extent. Similar things happen in Rwanda. Similar things happen. It's not something that's just unique to Europeans. It's something that are people who are under the sway. Matter of fact, there was a man, Jonathan Cahn, a Jewish rabbi, who a Messianic Jewish rabbi, got up. He had 15 minutes to speak at the UN. He had an opportunity to speak at the UN, and he spoke about the Holocaust that was coming against Christians in Syria. That was wild to me that he had used that time to say, y'all have missed how the wicked one is doing it again. He's doing it again, and he's going to do it again. And do you think he's immune from doing it here? Y'all, listen, we need to stand on the truth of God. Be ready to give our witness and just say, look, we're going to stand with him. We're going to stand with God. He took my place on the cross. I'm going to stand with him wherever he'd have me go. Don't resist that truth. You don't have to be hospitable to the fact that everybody, there's a level playing field out there, and that everything is just, well, they said it, and so I believe it. We'll get to that in a minute. The last one where he says, we know. Verse 20. And this is beautiful. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We've been given an understanding because Christ came for us. And here's part of our understanding. This isn't about a religion. It's about a relationship. If you want to know what was the understanding, he has come. He came like us. We know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true and be in him who is true. Y'all, this is no exchange like, hey, I'm going to give God my tithe. We're going to take up a tithe later on. We still traditional in that way, right? But don't you give your tithe in a way that they do with idols. I'm going to give you this tithe, and then you're going to bless me tenfold. I'm going to give you this, and then you're going to give me that. That's paganism. That's trying to control God. God's given us everything. And tithing is a matter of worship to the God who knows us and we can know and we love. It's not a mechanical thing. He came with the desire and the ability to know us, to say, I want to know you. His disciples knew him. They walked with him. They talked with him. They prayed with him. They ate with him. He was there with them. He came so we might know him. He died on the cross because he had the desire and the ability to save us, to bring us out of that sin slavery, to where we were just being crushed down and had no options but to be a slave to our sin. He died to save us from that. Furthermore, as our gospel tells us, he rose up. He rose up that he might be with us and us with him forevermore in a loving family relationship. I'm going to tell you something. I love it. And I'm just going to stay here just for a second. I love the resurrection. The cross without the resurrection, it don't look good for us. Because that just means the Son of God died for us. And that God is bereft of a son. And there's no pain like that. You understand losing a child? Some of you all understand, and I don't got to preach that hard. Because your heart is tender, and your heart has been crushed by such a loss. I'm telling you what, Father God is not a bereft father, because his son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is alive. And being alive, there's a great celebration in heaven. And that celebration is for us as much as it is for anybody, because we put our faith in Christ. It's for us. Not for us in the sense that we're the center of attention. It's for us in the sense that he is gathering together all those who have been born again in him, that we might have eternal life in his name. That's the true and living God. Not the one who is controlled by man and you can do this and I'll do this. Not the one who's hateful and standing off and is wanting us to kill somebody and blow ourselves up to catch his attention. Not the God who is the hippie God smoking weed over there and is friends with everybody and disregards the truth. Not that God either. The God of the Bible who says, my son took care of it that you and I might be together forever, and we ought to rejoice in that truth. And if you struggle with it, you ask yourself, why would I struggle with this? Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. And one day, he's coming. He ain't sending an ambassador or a delegation. He himself is coming back to receive his own, to take us to be where he is with him always. Amen. Yeah. Now, that's just the gospel. We don't even got to get into like some fancy doctrine, like how many angels fit on top of a needle head or anything like that. That's just the gospel. Y'all, we ought to get so fired up and so embraced. I say just the gospel. It's just the good news. It's what makes us free and whole and a part of the family of God. And the more we know the truth, the less vulnerable we are to the lie in whatever shape it comes in. Look at this last verse. It almost seems not to make sense. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Then it almost seems out of place. Except for I think what he's trying to tell us was you can know this truth. And when you know these truths, you are on a firm setting. And don't you ever, ever fall for a lie. Don't you ever, ever fall for a God less than God. Don't you ever try to look for salvation in another than Jesus Christ. Don't you ever think you can handle your sin through a religious way, through your own strength, through your own money and gifts. You always come to Christ with it. Don't you fall for no idols, no thing that's less than God. Now he was writing to the Ephesians, and those folks in Ephesus were ate up with idols. They loved their idols. They had one called Diana, and there's goo-goo gaga about Diana the idol. They're, woo! She's awesome. Diana of the Ephesians. They had lynched people. They tried to lynch the Apostle Paul. They went and gathered up a whole big old crowd in the stadium and chanted for hours, Diana of the Ephesians, Diana of the Ephesians. And they was about to wring the neck of the dude named Jason who was just hosting the Apostle Paul. These guys loved their idols. They just ate up, and there's guys that sell little idols, little mini idols. If you've ever been out of this country and you go to the marketplace, most often you're going to find little tiny little bitty idols roaming around, people selling all over the place, walking to their homes full of idols. It's just wild to see. We don't see that much here. I guess we don't have a problem with idols. I guess we can just go on from here. That's good for other people. You know, there's people in other countries who really need this word of God right here. Verse 21, but not us. We're not like that at all. We're too smart for that. We don't have no carved images, do we? Y'all, the idolatry here is so incredibly dangerous. The idolatry here, some of which is just that idea of universalism. We hear it purported, you know, reported by our, you know, our media. All religions are equally good. All are equally true. And I would agree with them as long as you don't classify Christianity as a religion. If you don't classify, if you classify it as a relationship, not a religion, I would agree with that statement. But they always try to throw Christianity in there. And they try to make it like this. You know, religion's all that hooky, spiritual mumbo jumbo. And you just can't know which one's true. So let's just throw them all in the big bag, shake it up, whatever one you pulled out because of wherever you were born and whatever your parents were, that's yours, this is mine, they're all equally nonsense, let's just get along without killing each other. Isn't that kind of what the world tells us? And I'm going to tell you, that kind of becomes this idolatry, and they got people feeling safe in their agnosticism. In other words, I just can't know. In the movie Da Vinci Code, Tom Hanks, the most trusted actor in television, or in the movies, is sitting there at the end of the movie. They close up on his face, and he goes, I guess we could just never know the truth. Ding! What they didn't catch on the film was Satan behind him going, tell him, I guess they can never know the truth. And then he just puppeted it away. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can know the truth. The truth is in Christ. The truth will set you free. And we need to know that. Okay? We don't need this idolatry of ignorance. It's all okay, I guess, because you'll never know. Honey. You're going to have to pick sides. You're going to be at a funeral, you're going to have to pick sides. You're going to be in trouble, you're going to have to pick sides. You're going to have turmoil in your own soul at night, and you're going to have to pick sides. You're going to meet your maker one day, and you'll find out you had to pick sides. And I'm going to tell you, pick God. God ain't coming to your side. He's done for us. It's time we pick God. Pick God. Choose God. Not an idol. It's just the idol of self. Whatever my experience is, whatever my thoughts are, whatever it is, I want that. Those are the things. Those are the things that really matter. This whole movement's being driven by this. My experience, my life, me, mine, ours. That's all that really matters. If I feel this way, that's what I am. No limitations should be put on me. No limitations should be, you know, put unfairly upon me from the man, from the government, because myself said, I feel this way. Right now, with the cadence of my sermon, I feel like a Pentecostal preacher. I'm like, well, I'm going to tell you something now. No matter how you feel, you are created in the image of God, and you can't shake it. You were born a man or a woman, you can't shake it. And I'm going to tell you something. It don't matter how exalted you want to exalt yourself. God made it to where life knows how to humble you sooner or later. And if it won't, God surely will himself humble you. Because the proud will be humbled. That's just going to happen. That's going to happen. It don't matter how much we idolatrize ourselves. Of course, money's always an idol. I don't even got to talk about that. People kill for money. People bow down and listen to their money. They'll decide not to obey God because of their money. I don't got the money to obey God. Really? Security? What will we do? What will we not do? I don't think I want to go there because it don't seem safe. Missions just don't seem safe. If you have a ticket, blood bought through Christ to heaven, why are you so concerned about safety? If this world's your home, I got you. Go go buy you some guns, get you some landmines and cameras, and stay stove up in your house somewhere out yonder. But if you plan on to leave here someday, you might as well get in the game and share Christ. Don't let those lesser things rob you of what God would have for you. That's what he's saying. You can know the truth. The truth is Jesus took care of our sins. He's given us all we need to grow in grace. He protects us in a supernatural way from the molestation of the evil one. He's made us a part of his family, although we live in a world that's under the sway of the wicked one. And the whole point of his coming was that we might know him and share eternal life with him in a loving, living relationship. Are you okay with those truths? Are you okay with that? If any of those stood out or hurt or stubbed you a little bit, you ask why. If all those just said, that's it, man, that's the gospel that I've heard, that's the gospel of Christ, that's the gospel of the Bible, then you give God a big old woo-hoo and say, woo-hoo! Thank you, Lord, for saving me. It's an awesome thing. Yeah, yeah. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, I pray right now, if there's any here who's struggling with these things, I kept using the word born again. You kept using the word born again in your word. There might be someone here who's not born again. Maybe they've never simply said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose again from the dead, and I want you to be the Lord of my life. Maybe there's somebody here who's never picked that side, who's simply never come over to that conclusion. Maybe today's their day. Father, would you do that work? It's not a work I can do. It's not a work the band or the music of the band can do or any of their mama can do for them. Nobody can do it. Would you be with them? You are the one who can do it. It's your spirit who convicts of sin and righteousness. Would you do that work right now? We trust you, Lord. We trust you. If there's any here who's focused on any problem or they have insecurities and doubts about the truth of what was in your word, would you help them right now to deal with that? Father, there was a man called the doubter. And when he saw you, when he saw the reality of your resurrection, he said, my Lord and my God. Father, would you help us come to a renewed sense of passion for you as our Lord and our God. Father, we love you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a song of invitation. This is your time. Deal with God how you want to deal with, how you need to deal with God. Okay? If you don't got anything to say to God except for thank you, Lord, well, give him thanks. This is the place to do it. Amen? This is your time.
I was covered in shame.
He's awesome. He's got everything that we need. Now, I'm going to share some needs that we have as a church. I'm going to ask the ushers to come up. I forgot about them. I don't want to forget about y'all. Y'all come up for the offering. But as we do, I'm just going to be sharing some announcements. This tonight starts a big night for us. We're starting with our VBS. Vacation Bible School starts tonight from 5:30 to 8. In the Bible school, we're teaching on the same level as our kiddos. We're talking to them about the Lord Jesus. And, you know, a lot of times they're at the point where they're ready to make a profession of faith. So you just pray for them. Pray that we'll present to them, as we present to them the gospel, that they'll believe and be saved, okay? I'll have some more announcements here in a minute. Let me pray for us and we'll take up the offering. Lord God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, we give you all the praise. We love you. And we look always to your hand for our needs. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
See a poster, a handmade kind of poster, says GPD on it, and there's another one that says GSD, Grenada Police Department and Grenada Sheriff Department. We're making a banner. Miss Suzanne's leading this up. She's right back there. She'll have those out in the hallway. We're just asking, just put your sign it, say something encouraging. Put your, you know, we're just trying to encourage our law enforcement officers, and so just throw something on there if you'd like to. I think we'll have it for. This is our card.
We have to do too many cards, so I decided this is the best
one. We're doing one big card for both departments instead of doing individual cards for all the rest of the folks. They'll be back there. You can sign it. Also, there's going to be a brief. If you're working VBS, Sarah right here, she's going to meet right down here. She's going to meet right there. A brief meeting. All VBS workers right down here. And then we know that it's going to be tight. Because we're starting tonight, and it still hasn't been decorated, so there's going to be a decorating crew probably who's just not going to go anywhere. It's going to decorate and be here forever. And so, but y'all come down and see Miss Sarah for this meeting. And we need help moving the chairs. These chairs are all going to be pushed up to the front, okay? Very nicely. We need some people who can nicely move the chairs. I know what you're thinking. Maybe I'm the only one who can do that, but I am not. I assure you, I can train many, many helpers in how to nicely move the chairs to the front so that we can utilize this space for our Vacation Bible School. I think that might be it. Vacation Bible School is 5:30 to 8, today through Thursday. Thursday we're having a big family night, cook stuff. You might say, well, I ain't been there. Look, if you're part of the Christ Community Church, you just come on. I bet you there's someone you can greet, say hi to, eat with, fellowship, all that stuff. So you can make all that your own. As far as Wednesday night service this week, we will not be having our regular Wednesday night service because we'll be having VIP. of anything else that I can think of. Man, go out there and stand on the truth of Jesus Christ and watch how effective and attractive it makes you. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you that we have the opportunity to do in your name the things that you've established for us to do, that you might get the glory, not us, but that you might get the glory. Long after we're gone, long after we're forgotten, there's going to be people preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray that that name, your name, in the name of Christ, would just be lifted up by all of us. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I love you all. Thanks for letting me be your pastor. Ready? Break.